Attempt blocked by McNabb. To the right circle, a try. Kick, save Hill. Rebound, another try, save Hill. A third try, save. And the rebound to the right corner.
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Blob boots it ahead, sticks it left. Barbashev in, back to the right, a shot. Score! Marchessault, 19 seconds in.
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolls along, and the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. Trade deadline is about 3 days away, 2.5 days away. It's Friday, noon Friday. Chapman, I feel like everything's happening right now.
Yeah, it's going to make Friday kind of boring, right?
Were you unprepared for the microphone?
No, I was refreshing.
Oh, you're doing it too, eh?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, just to set the scene, and then we'll get into Bruce Cassidy's audio. It's a long one, but it's a lot of good stuff in there from earlier today. Just to reset for everybody that's either joining us now or wants to have the most up-to-date information on the reports out there of a potential trade for Noah Hanifin. It was reported probably about 40 minutes before we got on the air. Maybe 35 minutes is when it started to pick up steam. First by Darren Dreger, Darren Millard's former friend. Or not former friend, but Darren Millard's friend and former colleague. My goodness.
They might be former friends.
Well, Darren only has five of them.
Yes.
He keeps a very close inner circle. He's like Robert De Niro.
Yeah, you and I are not in that circle.
Yeah.
The circle of trust.
Yeah, we're not in the circle of trust. It's totally fine. Like, I'm okay with it. I'm not bitter at all.
Yeah, Greg doesn't get into the circle of trust, so.
Yeah, but, like, Greg's the most sane person in those movies.
I think his wife is pretty sane.
Well, she is too, but, like, when Greg came to the realization that he didn't want to be in the circle of trust, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm all about it.
Operation Kosumwe.
Oh, geez. We just watched those not too long ago.
They're
anyway,
so good.
I'm squirrel brained right now. Okay, here's the deal. Reports earlier today from Darren Dreger, and then since has been reported by Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnston, pretty much every single NHL insider that you can think of has put this report out, that the Vegas Golden Knights are in the process of or have acquired defenseman Noah Hanifin from the Calgary Flames. If that does become confirmed while we're on the show, we will bring that news to you. But as of right now, no confirmation yet from the Vegas Golden Knights or the Calgary Flames, two entities that you really do need confirmation from. So having said all that, there has been speculation about salary retention. There's even been a new wrinkle thrown in from Darren Dreger not too long ago that there might be a third team to help with some of that salary retention. And that the Golden Knights are in a position where if they do get the salary retention, as has been reported, unconfirmed, by the way, that it leaves Vegas open to more. The potential is there for more for the Golden Knights going into Friday. So it has been a busy 24-plus hours for Kelly McCrimmon and the Vegas Golden Knights, and certainly it's been more than the last 24 hours, but acquiring Anthony Mantha yesterday and potentially unconfirmed at this point, going in on Noah Hanifin, that would be a marvelous bit of business over a 24-hour span.
Yeah, especially when we'll obviously have to wait and see what is included in this deal, well, assumed deal with Calgary, before we can really judge it. But I think I don't know when Kelly McCrimmon sleeps. Like,
well, no one's sleeping this week.
No, well, like, any week. Like, I don't know when he sleeps. Because this guy's always out there looking. Mm-hmm. He's always got his eye open, you know? Hey, this guy just got waived. Do we want him?
Sure.
This guy's on his couch. Do we want him?
And so as much as we talk about, obviously, the front office, Kelly McCrimmon, George McPhee, all that, what about the scouting staff?
Oh, those guys are amazing.
Pro scouts, amateur scouts, like all of it, right? Like,
yeah.
This is where the Golden Knights really, really put other teams to shame.
We've got guys like Bob Lowe's who are involved. I mean, we talk so much about Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee, but it's an entire operation.
And we've brought up the Nick Watch rate a couple of times. Like, how important has that one been for Vegas?
Well,
huge.
He was on, was it Charlotte that beat the, I think it was Chicago?
Chicago Wolves, yeah.
In the Kelly Cup?
Yep.
And they identified him as a guy that they wanted.
Yeah.
And they went out and got him. Like, it blows me away that this entire organization, and the cap guys as well.
Sure, yeah.
Because a lot of this doesn't happen.
You got to know what you can do.
We all know the name of Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee, but we don't know the names of the other guys who are behind the scenes really making this happen. And this is not an operation that only works a couple of months a year. These guys are at it every single day of the year, 365 days, 366 this year. They will be. But like it amazes me just how they're able to identify the pieces they want and how they go out and get it.
I hate leap years, by the way.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous.
I'm always
that quarter day really doesn't matter all that much.
Yeah, what was it that I'm not going to go into it, but there's
some astronomer is going to tell me like, no, it really does.
No, fine. But there's another thing where it's apparently like you could just divide every single month and come up with whatever 28 days or whatever, and you don't have to worry about leap year.
You could do 28 days, 13 months.
Yeah.
Well, it's.
Do we want 13 months though?
Why not?
Yeah. I don't know.
What are you afraid of?
It's an unlucky number.
Chapman.
It's not real.
None of that's real, man. None of it's real.
Hey, man. I was very superstitious
stop. If you get into an elevator and you go to the 14th floor and there's no 13th floor.
You're still on the 13th floor.
Are you not staying on the 14th floor? Like, are you demanding that they put you somewhere else?
Well,
no.
The funny thing, when I lived in Taiwan, 4 is an unlucky number. So my apartment building did not have a 4th floor or a 14th floor.
Yeah, they're just lying to themselves at this point. All right, so now that we've tried to set the stage as much as we can, again, everything right now to this point at this moment at 5:12 on a Wednesday is unconfirmed. But the reports out there that the Golden Knights are close to or in the process of acquiring Noah Hanifin from the Calgary Flames. If we get it confirmed before the end of the show, we'll bring it to you. Right now, we're going to bring you Bruce Cassidy from earlier today, in which he addressed, obviously, Anthony Manta, plans for where Manta's going to fit in the lineup, as well as some injury updates for the Golden Knights.
Big winger, can score. Good hands, soft hands, good on the breakout and on the walls. His defensive metrics, I think we're solid this year in Washington. Power play numbers were average there, so I don't know if he got in the way of somebody, but he'll get an opportunity here. We'll talk to him, see what his best fit is, but I know he can. I remember when I was in Boston, Washington, he certainly could shoot from the elbow or the bumper position. Big guy, whether he's a net front guy or done that, I don't know. I think I used him a little bit there this year, so should help, especially with losing a guy like Mark Stone, a big body that, you know, plays those kind of minutes and does some of those things. So should fill a void there for us. He's played a lot of right wing. He's played both, but mostly right wing this year. So that's where we're going to play him tomorrow. He'll probably start with William Karlsson and then maybe Stevie on the left. We've got some stuff going on with all our left wingers, Pav, Will, and Howie. So we'll see down the road how that shakes out. Right now we have Stevie on the left because we're a little bit short. We'd like to get back to our four centermen, but either way, I like Jack's line. They played together. Jack's missed time, so him going back with Marshy and Barbie is something we would like to stick with, and we'll see where Anthony best fits, but that's where he'll go tomorrow.
Being healthy this year, I guess, has kind of helped, but notice his scoring uptake, and have you seen anything specific with the conversation with you and the pro scouts?
No, I think some of it is opportunity, too. Like when, you know, veteran guys in Washington's lineup, they're changing the makeup of their team. So they're probably starting to, you know, Oshie's been hurt and Backstrom's out. Now he's a center, but still, it's just the dynamic of it. Sometimes you defer when you go in there with those guys that are left over from a Stanley Cup team. So maybe opportunity's been there a little more for him this year as well. At the end of the day, you know, he's a good add for us. We need some secondary scoring. He does a lot of it 5-on-5. We're a predominantly 5-on-5 team. We're one of the least penalized, and we draw the league. So, you know, we have lots of 5-on-5 hockey. As I said, we're missing Stoney, who brought a lot of that. So he's in a contract year. Maybe that's motivated him. I just met him, so I would think any player that goes into a contract year has some effect on you. Sometimes it's negative, right? You're nervous and worried and squeeze your stick. Other times it's, okay, I got to, you know, family to take care of or whatever the situation is for each individual, and or I want to extend my career, or, you know, I want to stay in the league, like whatever. So sometimes that pushes you to have a career year. And you see that with timings for guys around the league and other guys that, as I said earlier, have off years, and so timing doesn't work out for them. But it could be any number of those things.
How long have you been watching it before? Because you guys actually got him for each chance to do a lot of work after you got
him. Well, I don't watch them a lot. This is the pro scouts area. They're in the rinks every day. That's their grunt. You know, that's them. And sometimes nothing happens for them, right? But they have a book on a lot of these guys from above, right? Then sometimes there's a trickle down effect. Have you ever coached them? I have not. Never crossed paths at any level other than playing against them. Dom had him a little bit at one of the World Juniors, so there could have been conversation there. That's up to Krim to see what kind of opinion he gets. As I said before, when it comes to me, typically, where, you know, we'll get asked, so where do you think the team's biggest needs are? And then we'll talk about it. And that, you know, changed with Mark's injury, right? We thought we were pretty good on the right side with Marshy, Stoney, Amel, and guys that could play the other side, and Coley. So, but that goes out, so I think dynamics change. So I'll watch more of them now. We have what, you know, they're just, you know, we get data on them, different players that may be in the mix, and it's up to us whether we want to watch them. It's not gonna, either way, I'm not gonna go upstairs and say, hey, we got to have this guy, because, you know, they, that's their job. My job's to coach whoever walks through that door. He's walking through that door, and I got to do the best I can.
Has that dynamic changed with the defense of how it's been going recently, or Alec being out?
Well, Alec being out gives Huddy a chance to get in, who's, you know, was playing well before his injury and has now waited. So I think there'll be some motivation. I think there's a little bit of that going on with our team, is that the dog days, and we need a little bit of pop. You know, Theo came in and gave us that. Hopefully Jack does, because he's missed time. Now Huddy. So I don't know. I'm not going to talk to you about what's going on upstairs. That's their area, and that's stuff that will be hashed out over the next few days. I think, like most teams, there's always areas of improvement on every team, and if there's opportunity to look at it, you know, most teams do, and then make their decision. That's just standard across the board, I think.
What's this week like for you as a coach and as just like a hockey fan watching all these?
Well, around the league, it's like go east, nope, west, 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 west. So the arms races in the way, you know, it seems to shift from year to year, right? It, like, so that's just the way it works out. You can only control your own. So that part, as a fan, you're always curious where guys are going. What are they going for? How does that affect the team? Like the Mittelstadt, Bowen Byram, it's an interesting, it's a hockey trade, right? You don't see a lot of those anymore. Like, so to me, that's two dynamics of a team that each trying to address an area or whatever, change of scenery. Like, those are old to me, a little bit years ago trades. Now it's okay. As soon as a trade comes up, it's like, okay, well, that, how much did they retain, right? That's the first thing that goes through your head, and which is, you know, goes against sort of the old school hockey. But so that part of it, and I told the players, like, I'm not in their position right now. I can see where there'd be some anxiety for anybody at any team. You know, like, that's just the way it is. It's that time of year, and especially if you like where you are and you like your teammates, it's going well. Still, sometimes someone has to go out the door to make your team better. Most of the teams are in it this time of year. It's more futures, but still, you don't know. You don't know. So the players, it's tough on them, I believe, especially ones with families. So you got to give them a little bit of leeway there, rope, and if you feel their game's off because they're lacking focus, maybe that's it. But other than that, we all have a job to do when the puck drops still, and I got to make sure that they're focused as best they can. So that's, I guess, how I look at it. Well, I think it was both games, to be honest with you. So it kind of, okay, we have a Buffalo game. We're in it. It's 2-2. We give up a goal at the end of the second period. We mismanage a puck, right? Like losing hockey to me. It's not something that we typically do. And then it snowballs. And then the same thing happens in Columbus. We battle back to 2-2, and then we give up. Every time we got within a goal, we gave up a goal, I thought, where we either weren't hard on a puck, lacked urgency. It wasn't like they made a terrific play. They converted, give them credit. They did what they had to do. So that's where that came from. So where is it? Well, let's see tomorrow. You know, is this going to continue, or are we putting the brakes on this and getting going here? Now, that's the messaging. Like, I think we're eighth, right? So, like, the next spot, you're out of the playoffs. So the players do have to realize that without looking at the standings every day and focusing on the task at hand, which is building your game and getting better. But the urgency level is much more on us than it is, you know, a team that's ahead of us. That's just the way it is. And we do have to realize that. So that's kind of what we're trying to get across now, is let's get to our game. Let's get this thing going in the right direction. And you've seen the last two years at this point, right? One story didn't end well, one ended really well. So, we want to be every year's a new year type of thing, but we'd like to get back on the rails like how it worked out last year. How are we going to do that? And that's what we address. It's not like just, okay, we're going to do it. It's how. Okay, we can't take ourselves out of these games like we're doing. And hopefully that goes off with the players, that we got to recognize when we're in a 2-2 game, we battled back. Like, we got to get our focus back in a hurry and dig in. No more of these sort of losing our way for 5 minutes and 10 minutes. It's costing us valuable points.
Do you know that can happen quickly? Like, I know it's not immediate, but like, do you feel like you're far away from being where you were last year? Like,
no, I have faith in this group, and I think management does. I mean, I think the players do it. We've got to get it done. That's it. Like, you can talk all you want. We do have to get it done. I don't think it's that far away. Every year I tell you, it's a different year. Some things have, repeated themselves, losing certain players or whatnot, but we have a lot of good players in that locker room, and we shouldn't be losing the games we're losing. That's how I feel. Like, it might be harder to beat guys that make a difference in the game, that make that extra play. Okay, certain games you're going to miss that, but I still feel that we left points on the table in this trip that could have got us going in the right direction, and we got to correct that now. You know, not April 15th and think we're just going to be ready to play.
How much can this week be more of a call to bring a guy like Amanda now and get rid of anybody on the curve?
Well, what it does is a lot of these things give your team a bump, right? They're going to say, management believes that we're bringing in players, giving up something in the future, so for the now. So they should be looking at it like they believe in us. They're trying to make us better. Now, some of the guys that the position he plays may be thinking, okay, all right, there might be squeeze on my minutes. Then, well, that's competition. And it's competition now from within because he's one of us. So get going. Take care of your business. So that's how it affects the flip side of guys. But some of those guys are injured right now anyway, so they're going to have to find their way in once they get healthy. On who? Oh, Martinez. Was he put on IR today? Oh, so that's what, at least a week, right? So I would say for now we'll leave it at a week until I get more information on it and go from there. So. Well, I liked his game before he got hurt. So a lot of what he was doing, he was transporting pucks. He was moving his feet on a breakout. He was doing a really good job beating the first guy, moving the puck up. So getting clean exits for us. I think he might get some power play time at the top a little bit. Defend well, close quick. Just play to his strength. He's a different player than Marty, so for Petro. So at the end of the day, help us win. We still have five other guys that have been in there that need to do their job, so we're not asking him to all of a sudden be a 25-minute a night guy. You might see Nick Hag playing up there a little bit too with Petro and balance that. That for Heidi, especially just coming into the lineup.
Is it upper or lower?
Lower.
Does it feel like you guys need a shot of adrenaline a little bit?
Yeah. I think it helps. I think guys coming back into the lineup, Will Carrier, would be a guy that always, because he's a veteran guy, and I saw Pav out there with us today. So all those guys give you a little bit of, they're familiar faces. That, having said that, like a guy like Morelli's done. It's been great for us. That's not the problem. Like, he's playing well, and I think Froh's doing his job down there in the lineup, and Rempel did. So, but it is familiarity, Gosh. And these guys are a tight-knit group, and they like when guys are back and feeling good and ready to play. So, yes, there is a little bit of that we will get.
Is there an update on Carrier? He had an illness, so he wasn't skating today. So hopefully he's feeling better tomorrow and back on the ice. But he won't play tomorrow, obviously not. You know, neither will Pav. He's in red, so that's not going to change overnight.
So no Pavel Dorofeev for tomorrow. No Will Carrier for tomorrow. But it does look like those two guys in particular are trending in the right direction. Carrier could rejoin the team tomorrow for morning skate. Missed today with an illness, not necessarily because of his injury. So if you get Carrier and Dorofeev as options, that makes Vegas better, certainly. Anthony Mantha is going to wear number 39. For those wondering what his emoji is, it'll be an ant. Anthony Mantha. Ant. Like, listen, as far as emojis go, that one probably is as good as you could, is a good, like, as good or better than any of the other ones.
Well, it kind of fits, but I think of Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
He's a tiny little ant,
or
but
a really big guy.
He's this massive, massive human in the suit. The scene where he's walking through the bay in San Francisco is evident of that. So, why not? Ant-Man. Ant. It works. Ant-Man. There we go. I like it.
Goodness gracious. Okay. So Mantha will go tomorrow for the Golden Knights. Expect him to play with William Karlsson. Bruce Cassidy unsure as to whether or not it'll be Chandler Stephenson with Karlsson and Mantha, but do expect Mantha in the lineup tomorrow with William Karlsson. All right. Also, Ben Hutton. Good on Ben Hutton, right? Like, with Alec Martinez out with a lower body injury on IR week to week, it's going to be an opportunity for Ben Hutton to get back into a game. It's been a minute since he's been in, and I know there's a big thing swirling around right now, but that's all unconfirmed at the moment. Ben Hutton is that guy, right? Seventh defenseman, does so much, brings so much energy for a defensive core that I feel like is in need of a jolt. Ben Hutton can provide that tomorrow.
Like, Ben Hutton is that friend who shows up to the party, and you know the minute he walks in the door, a good time just walked in the door. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Ben Hutton. He's the guy who shows up with, like, he doesn't show up with a six-pack. He shows up with, like, the case in each hand. And you know that he's loved by everyone in the organization. He's such a fun guy to talk to, and he brings energy, and he's responsible. And I think that's the aspect about Ben Hutton's game that I like the most, because this is a guy who could go 3-4 weeks without playing, and you insert him in the lineup, and it's like he's been playing that entire time. Now, granted, coming back from a lengthy injury, a little bit different than being healthy scratched for a number of games, but getting him back is going to be huge for this organization, because I think Ben Hutton is a good hockey player, and I think he had the opportunity to maybe go other places and play, but he chose to stay in Vegas, knowing full well what his role would be. And he's a guy, you know, we talked about Mason Morelli, a guy taking advantage of opportunities. Ben Hutton's a guy who took advantage of his. And I think I like what he brings. And it's gonna be a welcome return for Ben Hutton.
Yeah, it'll be awesome to see. So those are kind of the roster updates we're expecting for tomorrow. We'll see how things change in the next 24 hours or so. All right. We're going to take a break. Come back with Juan Timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Karlsson left corner. Centered. One-timer score!
It's time for One-Timers. One-Timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League, brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. Colorado, man. Colorado Avalanche load up. They trade Ryan Johansson and a 2025 first-round pick to the Philadelphia Flyers for defenseman Sean Walker. Weren't done there. The Avalanche then traded Bo Byram to the Sabres for Casey Mittelstadt. The trade is one for one. So in one fell swoop, the Colorado Avalanche get a second-line center in Casey Mittelstadt, and they essentially replace Bo Byram with Sean Walker.
And they get out from under a pretty heavy contract.
Well, they get out from under Ryan Johansson, and there were reports from Adrian Dater, again, good friend of the show, knows Mallard, all that, that there seemed to be some tension between Johansson and some of the players with the Colorado Avalanche. Not known exactly what that means. However, if you're trying to win, you probably want everything going as well as it possibly can with the players inside the room. So if there's friction, tension there, it makes a lot of sense. Now, here's the other aspect of this that I think is really interesting. Ryan Johansson goes to Philadelphia. Ryan Johansson used to play for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Under?
John Tortorella. Everybody was super excited about a reunion for Ryan Johansson and John Tortorella. Felt like it could be explosive. Won't be the case. Ryan Johansson was placed on waivers with the intent to send him down to the American Hockey League if he clears.
Well, I mean, look, I think it is what it is. I'm not really sure, like, what the sort of contention is or was, if that was an accurate thing. But look, I like this trade from both perspectives, because if you are the Philadelphia Flyers, you probably knew you weren't going to win a Stanley Cup. And you just signed Sean Walker in the offseason, and you're able to flip that for a first-round pick. So you get that first-round pick back. It's a win for both teams. It's rare to say that, but Philadelphia getting a first-round pick, granted, it's going to be at the end of the first round, but who cares, right? It's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And for Colorado, it feels like they're going all in. Like, it's an arms race now between Colorado, Vegas, and we still have 2 days left to see, because I certainly don't think the other move that you're going to get to in the Western Conference would constitute arms race.
Okay, let's do that right now. Like, let's just, for the sake of argument, look at this. If you're able to pull off Anthony Mantha, which the Golden Knights did, if the reports out there are accurate on Noah Hanifin, and then you're able to pull one more player, Ken Holland has to just be looking around pulling his hair out. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
the Edmonton Oilers' big splash today is that they get Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick from the Anaheim Ducks. It was a three-team trade. And did you have the Tampa Bay Lightning taking on salary as a broker?
No.
On your bingo card?
Of course not.
Yeah, neither did I. But the Lightning are the third team that helped broker the deal. They retain 50% of Henrique's salary for a 2025 fourth-round pick from the Edmonton Oilers. That will become a 2026 fourth-round pick if the Oilers win the Stanley Cup. The Ducks get a 2024 first from the Edmonton Oilers and a 2025 fifth-round pick that becomes a fourth-round pick if the Oilers win the Stanley Cup. So I'm underwhelmed. Like, Adam Henrique's a good player. Sam Carrick's good depth, right? Like,
I like Henrique. I think he's a good player and he can help you.
But I'm not blown away by this.
Yeah, I don't think it's a real move the needle kind of trade. And I know you necessarily don't need to move the needle, but,
well, you need more than just McDavid and Draisaitl and Hyman and Nugent Hopkins.
Like, to me, Sam Carrick, he's a guy. Like,
he's physical.
He's a depth player, though.
Yeah, he'll make them better.
But I don't think he puts them over the top.
Adam Henrique will make them better. I still feel like there's another move
They have to be doing something.
You'd hope. Well, no, I mean,
no,
I don't know.
No, you don't
not.
Hope, but I
maybe
mean,
not here.
If you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, you have to hope.
Know your audience, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, there's no one here hoping, except that random guy who may have moved down here from Edmonton.
Who's that?
I don't know. I'm just saying. There's probably some people.
I thought
in the
you
valley.
Were referencing somebody very specific.
Friend of the show, Mark Savard.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. I just don't understand.
Who's not a random guy, by the way.
I just don't understand some GMs. Like, you have McDavid and Draisaitl in their prime.
Yeah.
They're never going to be better than they are right now or the next 2 years.
And you mentioned...
You've got them under contract. How are you not moving everything to bring in players that actually complement these two?
Well, you mentioned earlier, you brought up windows.
Yeah.
Leon Draisaitl gives the Edmonton Oilers a very, very small window, unless he's re-signed. So you have to go all in at some point. Get rid of minor league players. Get rid of tons of draft picks. The Edmonton Oilers should have been the team going out and getting a guy like Anthony Mantha.
Yeah.
They should have been the team going out and getting the player they should have gotten from Anaheim was Frank Vetrano. Like, you have to be bold. And well, I don't think this is a bold move.
Vladimir Tarasenko. Right? Like, honestly, again, I like Adam Henrique. And who knows? This might be exactly what the Edmonton Oilers need.
Look, Henrique's a veteran player.
Yeah.
He's clearly still got it.
Like, wouldn't Alex Wennberg have been a better fit?
Absolutely. Especially considering the Rangers got him with 50% retained salary.
So there you go. New York Rangers get their guy. Alexander Wennberg traded to the Rangers. Kraken retained 50% salary, receive a 2024 second-round pick and a 2025 fourth-round pick. To me, I don't make a trade for Adam Henrique if I've got Wennberg available there. Now,
right.
Listen, I don't know why you go in the direction of Henrique and Carrick. Like, again, maybe those two guys put them over the edge, but it doesn't move the needle enough in the way that Colorado trading for Casey Mittelstadt did. It doesn't move the needle enough in that the Golden Knights, an already deep team beyond just their top players, bring in Anthony Mantha. Like, it doesn't move the needle beyond the Florida Panthers going out and getting Vladimir Tarasenko, a deep team that doesn't have any holes, getting more scoring depth. When you look at the Oilers, I just don't know how much Henrique is going to take you and push you over the top. I don't know how much Sam Carrick is going to take you and push you over the top when you desperately need your other two lines to pick up some legitimate scoring depth.
Like, a guy for them, Pavel Buchnevich. Like, there's a list of names that they could have gone out. And look, they may not be done. We still have a couple of days. But if I'm an Oilers fan, I'm feeling a little let down right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially watching what Colorado and Vegas did today. And maybe more salty at the fact that the team that plays in the same province as you
mm-hmm.
is making a trade with the team that you're trying to beat to get to the Stanley Cup final.
Unconfirmed.
Assuming it's a done deal, yeah. If and when it happens, yes.
All right, so the Florida Panthers, they get Vladimir Tarasenko. Ottawa gets a 2024 fourth-round pick. The condition on that pick is that it becomes a third-round pick if the Panthers win the Cup, and they also get a 2025 third-round pick. So it essentially is Vladimir Tarasenko for if Florida wins a Cup, two third-round picks. So, again, it's a scenario where, I think you look at the return, it's in line with what Vegas gave up for Anthony Mantha. Very similar type of players. I think there's certainly more upside with Mantha in that he fills a more specific need for the Golden Knights. So it's good all the way around. I think Florida did a great job there. Now, okay. Did you see the hit over the weekend from Martin Pospisil?
I did, yes.
Okay. Which one did you see? Because there were two borderline checks.
I saw the Vince Dunn hit.
Okay. So the Vince Dunn hit is the reason why he has a hearing with the NHL's Department of Player Safety. I haven't seen anything come down. So I don't know if anything's been established yet on a suspension. Essentially, Pospisil just obliterates Dunn from behind.
Yes.
There's a lot of people saying, well, Vince Dunn in that situation has to put himself in a better spot. It's 1.5 seconds. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, the puck is gone.
You're not going to be able to make a different play on that if you're Vince Dunn. The speed of the game, it's ridiculous. The onus there is on Pospisil to not be ridiculous.
Yeah, not to crush to not, Vince Dunn.
You hold up. Just hold up.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Dangerous, dangerous hit.
So to my knowledge, it is not an in-person hearing. So it would follow then that, like, you're looking at a five-gamer if that's the maximum that the Department of Player Safety levies. What do you think?
Well, I don't think he gets five because
why
it's,
not?
Well, first offense, right?
It's egregious.
It's first offense, though.
Second dangerous hit in the game.
Well, that's the caveat
like a
here.
Lunatic? So, like,
so
come on.
If they take into account the prior hit, maybe he gets four. I think he's only going to get two or three.
You're probably right.
Because it's his first time.
It should be five.
It probably should be.
These hits are gross.
You got to get them out of the game.
Yeah, 100%. So, like, just penalize them as such.
Like Vince Dunn.
That's all I'm asking for.
He's got a family he's got to go home to. You know, like, it's not worth it. Like, it's not. Get it out of the game.
Back in my day.
Yeah, listen.
You had to keep your head on a swivel.
And look at how a lot of those players' bodies have held up.
Well, you're also talking about, like, listen, when you're talking about back in my day in junior hockey or, you know, growing up as a peewee.
Yeah.
You had, like, 4 seconds to protect yourself before the hit comes.
Yeah.
6 seconds.
And
it's not a split second here. Come
and nobody's
on.
Skating down the ice at 23, 24 miles an hour.
With the sole purpose to run you and drill you into the boards.
Yes.
You, like, if you're looking at that objectively, there's no reason Pospisil had to throw that hit. None.
No.
Zero.
Other than with intent.
Yeah. Trying to injure. Period. So I'll be interested to see how many games it is. Those are your one-timers for today, Wednesday, March 6th. Got a pair of tickets. Actually, two pairs of tickets right now for VGK Detroit on Saturday. Callers number 9 and 13. 9 and 13. You're a winner. Catching Up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan. Well, we still wait for confirmation.
Yes.
But went to the doctor today, got a clean bill of health, so feeling good about that. You know, it takes so long to get in to see your doctor.
Yeah.
But felt like I waited months and months to get in to see mine, and everything seems to be working the way it's supposed to be. We'll see. But I'm feeling good about the way that the appointment went. I was really nervous about it, to be fair.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, this isn't going to be good. This is not going to be a good... good trip, and it turned out that, you know, my blood pressure is good, and
yeah.
You know, he does want me to lose some weight, so I'm going to go on the Mediterranean diet.
Oh, dude, you get to eat a lot of really good food.
I was checking it out, like fish and nuts and goat cheese.
Was that his recommendation?
He said, listen, it's not a fad. He's like, it works. He's like, it's a real diet. Like, it's healthy living. So
sure. Yeah.
Told my wife, let's stock up on the cod and the salmon and the tuna.
Yeah.
I'm all about that. I cooked
some nice
shrimp
olive
for lunch.
Oil.
That's what I did. I cooked some shrimp and olive oil, a little tequila lime seasoning.
Get used to some cucumber salad.
I love cucumbers.
Do you?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
One of my favorite. Broccoli. Love that.
You're a big vegetable guy.
I love veggies. Yeah, they're the best.
That's good for you.
Yeah.
Nothing confirmed yet, except for the fact that we will be at T-Mobile Arena tomorrow. We'll catch you then, right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.